I'm posting this as a warning. Maybe it can save you. It started exactly a year ago. It was October 31st, Halloween, and a few nights before daylight savings ended, and also the night I would turn 21. I was lying in bed after a long day of work and just relaxing before I finally drifted off. I didn't even get up to turn out the lights in my one-bedroom apartment. I just drifted off right there, with all the lights in the place on. That's the night I heard it. I woke up to a sorrowful noise. I could not pinpoint the location, as it sounded to be coming from the walls themselves. Now, I have struggled with sleep paralysis, coped with hallucinations before, so originally, I thought this was just another episode of that. I thought that until I discovered I could move. And not only that, but my hallucinations were almost all the time things like demons, monsters, shadows, things that stuck out prominently, never a simple noise. I turned over to look at my phone and check the time. 3:58 a.m. is what it read. Although it was night, it was abnormally dark. Typically, your eyes can adjust so that you see something, but I couldn't see a damn thing. So I walked to my window, thinking I could see a street light, all the while the faint noise sending chills down my spine and causing my blood to feel cold. I pulled the curtain back, looked outside the window, but I couldn't really make out anything in the dark. That's when the sound got much louder, so loud, even, that I had to cover my ears with the palms of my hands to make it bearable. Then, as quickly as it came, it left, going back to just being a faint-sounding moan. It almost sounded like crying. The best way I could describe the noise is this. Have you ever played Left 4 Dead 2? You know the witches, the things that make that blood-chilling cry? The ones that make your skin crawl and you want nothing to do but avoid that shit because just seeing them makes you want to curl up in a ball and produce the same noise she does. Yeah, that's the closest thing I can compare this sound to. It sounded horrible, and I couldn't make out where this noise was coming from. But the thing that scared me the most was that I couldn't make out why this noise was there in the first place. I decided I would try to ignore the sound, pushing it to the back of my mind and trying to convince myself it was possibly just the pipes in the apartment. I knew it wasn't, but pretending otherwise was the only thing that calmed me down. Even if it was just temporary bliss. I also chose to make myself some breakfast, also choosing to believe that the abnormal darkness outside was just due to some really dark clouds covering the sky. That one was a little more difficult to convince myself of, but in my rational mind, I had nothing else I could use as an excuse. At the time, I was an atheist, a free-thinking rationalist who preferred hard evidence and facts rather than faith or feeble belief. I believed in no god or gods and the supernatural paired with them. My god, how that changed. It was when I walked out of my kitchen, turning on the lights and preparing to make myself a bowl of Fruity Pebbles, when I came to a shocking and frightening realization. I didn't turn out the light last night. In fact, I didn't turn off anything at all. Yet everything was powered off coming into the kitchen and the den of the apartment. That realization, the fright and panic it sent through me, causing me to lose my appetite. So, I gave up on my little bowl of deliciousness. I made my way through the apartment, cautiously searching for any intruders while simultaneously turning on any lights I could find. I found nothing, so I went back to my room, only confused. That sound, that goddamn sound, persisted. And only seemed to grow louder and stronger whenever I was frightened. It grew loud again, and not as loud as to make me cover my ears like before, but loud enough to where I could no longer ignore it. The window had a tiny bit of iridescent light peeking through the curtains, so I decided to take another look. I wish I hadn't. Outside, just standing in the parking lot, black hair all knotted, skin cracking, eyes looking like black holes, was a girl. She looked to be about 13 years old, and the light that I saw coming through the window was actually coming from her. It wasn't bright, not at all. The pure darkness that surrounded her made the light seem brighter than it really was. I wasn't too alarmed at first. In fact, I thought maybe she needed some help. I opened my window, but recoiled as soon as it budged. The sound was coming from her. Not only was the sound coming from her, but I also noticed she was smiling. Her mouth spread in such a wide grin that it seemed inhuman, and her teeth were stained a mixture of yellow and green, as if they hadn't been brushed in years. With the barrier separating her from myself having been cracked, even by only a little, I began to sob. Uncontrollable, horrific-sounding sobs. I became overwhelmed in a sadness that I had never felt before in my life. When my mother died, I didn't cry this hard. I cried so hard that my throat began to hurt, and my head started to throb. Then the window closed. Not hard. It just slid shut. And I thanked my lucky stars that I didn't get the chance to lock the window in place when I opened it. Because if I did, I don't know how long I would have laid there crying. Because as soon as that seal was reconnected, the feeling of sorrow left, and I could finally take a breath again without feeling the need to expel tears. Rubbing my eyes, still swollen and sore from the extreme sobbing I just did, I walked back to the window and looked out again, not planning on opening it this time. I saw the girl looking the same as she did previously, but only this time she wasn't smiling. She was frowning. She raised her hand, took her index finger, and ever so slowly pointed it at me. She then began to walk forward, her sobs getting louder with each step until she disappeared under the view of my window. I scrambled for the doors. I didn't know, but I could only assume none of them were locked. And sure enough, when I got to them, none of them had been. I furiously ran to each of the two doors that led to the outside and locked both, even throwing a piece of furniture in front of them for good measure. Primal fear started to overtake me as I began hyperventilating, the kind of fear I would think a deer feels when it's being stalked by a predator. A knock came at the door, almost made me jump out of my skin. I didn't answer. Then the sobs stopped, and a voice came from the other side.
Jeremy. Jeremy, it's me, your mother. Open up. It's cold out here, son. Please let me in.
I froze. Every ounce of me wanting to open that door, wanting to see my mother again. The voice was almost hypnotizing. But I knew my mother had died 5 years before this point. I knew better. But her voice sounded exactly like my mom. So exactly alike. I left the area and proceeded back to my bedroom. I grabbed my phone to check the time at 4:45 a.m. That couldn't be right. At least, it didn't feel right. The events I just described earlier felt at least like an hour or an hour and a half long. But it had only been 47 minutes since I last checked the time. The sobs came back, replacing the sweet, alluring voice of my mother, and instead filling me with more sense of dread and sorrow. I actually preferred this. I didn't want the voice of my late mother to be a source of my nightmares to come. I decided at this moment I would just lie in bed and wait it out, whatever it was. I began thinking that maybe it was all just a dream. Maybe my sleep paralysis demons have just taken on a new form, or that my hallucinations are becoming more aggressive. I turned on my phone, trying to find something to distract me from the horrifying situation I found myself in, when the sobs were replaced with a terrible shriek. A shriek so loud it shook the windows. Then, a banging at my door, at both of them at once. My doors were on opposite walls. I began to cry a little again. Not because the sound compelled me to, but out of pure fear and anxiety. I didn't know what I was going to do, when, all of a sudden, I heard the door that I had locked and barricaded break loose of its hinges. Whatever this thing was, it was inside now. I could hear the soft pitter-patter of small feet along the floor of my house, and they came to a halt outside of my door.
Jeremy, let me in. This would be so much easier if you just let me in, sweetie.
The voice wasn't my mother's this time. This time it was demonic. The sound of pure evil. And if words could kill, those would be the ones to do it. I didn't respond. Not only did I not know what to say, but I didn't want to risk talking to this creature, thinking that it might be some sort of invitation into my mind or something else. Little did I realize, she had already gotten into my head with fear. I just curled up, pulled the blankets over my head, and tried to ignore the situation. What else was I supposed to do? I was on the second story to this apartment, so trying to leave via window was bound to result in serious injury. And leaving through the doors that this girl was now behind was bound to result in things I couldn't possibly understand or want. So I just sat there. Fear numbed my bones, and I couldn't feel anything else. That's when I heard the banging at my door. I peeked through the cracks in the covers and began to see the wood of the door start to splinter. I decided I would take the jump. Whatever this thing was, I couldn't let it near me. I felt that much. I pulled open the window, door splintering and giving way behind me, and jumped. It wasn't too terribly high a fall, but it was enough to sprain my ankle when my feet hit the grass below. I was lucky enough to have a window located above a small patch of grass that the apartment complex set up with flowers, rather than having one overlooking the sidewalk or pavement. My ankle hurt very badly, but it wasn't broken. I could tell that much. So I sprinted as best I could, running to the security shack that housed a moderately armed security guard equipped with a taser, pepper spray, and a baton. I could hear footsteps behind me, coupled with the sound of maniacal laughter and crying. The footsteps got closer and closer. But I finally reached the door to the security shack, and I burst through, slamming it shut behind me and locking it for safe measure. The girl could break through wood, but I'd like to see her try against reinforced metal. "Good fucking God!" I heard a voice call out behind me. I turned and saw the security guard, whose name badge presented himself as Jacob and whose looks painted him as a 50-year-old man, pointing a taser directly at me. "What the hell, boy? What do you think you're doing?" I'm sorry, sir. Please, let me stay here tonight," I answered back between breaths, winded from the sprint here. My ankle throbbed and was swollen from the fall and subsequent pressure put onto it. There was something in my apartment. It chased me here. The guard looked me up and down, and he must have seen how frightened I was as he put away his weapon and asked, "What are you talking about, son?" To which he also looked out the glass window and tried to find whatever I was talking about. "There's something out there, sir. It broke through my apartment, and I had to jump out my window to escape." My voice sounded broken, and he picked up on that. "Son, whatever's out there, I'm sure it's nothing too much to worry about. I'll go have a look-see and see what all the fuss is about. You just wait here." I yelled at him not to leave, telling him it wasn't safe, that whatever is out there isn't human, and that I wasn't even sure if it was from this world. But he shrugged me off, saying that I was probably just imagining it being so bad because of my fear-induced mind. I pleaded, begged with him not to leave. At this point, it just wanting someone else to be in my company. Still, he wouldn't have it. "Now, son, I'm sure there's something out there, but it isn't anything I can't handle. I had this job for a reason. Now you just wait right here and let me do my job." He stated to me so confidently that I almost believed him. Almost. He left the small building and shut the door behind him. Flashlight, a baton, and taser at the ready. He informed me to lock the door behind him. I assumed because he wanted me to feel more comfortable, but I was worried about his safety at this point. Still, I locked the door, per his instructions, and watched through the wide glass windows. The guard took a few steps from the door and shined his flashlight onto something crawling on the ground. It was just a raccoon.
"Son, don't tell me this is what you were afraid of,"
the guard called out, and I can tell he was holding back annoyance, but also that he was stifling a laugh at the same time. Then, there she was. The girl, about 20 feet away from the guard. The same knotted hair and stained teeth as before. The guard saw her too, and he called out to her in a voice full of concern.
"Hey, little one. Are you okay? Did you get lost?
He approached the girl as he spoke, but she made no movements. I tried to call out to him, tried to cry to him, but something kept my mouth shut for just a second longer than it should have, because by the time anything escaped my throat, it was too late. He reached her, reached his hand out in an attempt to come across as someone she can trust. But when he made contact with her, it was over. The little girl shot her head up as fast as lightning and grabbed the man's face with a grip so tight I could see the veins struggling underneath the guard's skin. He let out a wailing scream. He begged me to help him, but I couldn't. I was frozen in fear, and I knew there was nothing I could do. I tried to turn away from the sight, tried to shield my eyes, but my gaze was stuck, and my body was paralyzed, as I saw her tighten her grip on him with every breath he took. Her hand had nails that were long and sharp, and those began piercing his skin, only making him cry out even louder, until, eventually, I heard a pop, and a viscous red liquid splattered itself across the windows I was looking through. The girl, little as she may be, crushed the man's head with a single hand. Yet still, somehow, the screams of his terror and pain persisted beyond death. It only took me a second, but I realized that his screams were now coming from her mouth, only now sounding of far more anger and pain than before. She then began to gouge out the man's eyes, scooping them out with her nails, and that's when I turned away and vomited all along the back wall. I couldn't take it anymore. Something finally snapped, allowing me to break my gaze at the situation outside. I kept my head turned away, tears streaming down my face as I heard soft crunching and moans of pleasure. I didn't want to think of what that could mean. Eventually, the sounds dissipated, and the only one left was, once again, the sobs. They began driving me insane. I began to think of horrible things, things of a vile nature that only appear in the worst of nightmares or the horror movies that don't make it to theaters because they're so wrong. I started seeing blood drip from the ceiling, roaches infesting the wood. Worms began to burrow through the floors. I saw my mother standing in front of me, arms crossed as if disapproving of something that I did. She scolded me. It told me I was a failure, that I didn't even go to her funeral. She told me how much of a terrible person I was, and that my father and she have hated me since birth. She told me that I was such a disappointment, and that she wished she would have aborted me when she had the chance. She even said she wished that she could have seen me die before she did. I began to cry. I pounced on her, some primal rage burning deep within me. A deep-seated hunger manifesting itself as I slammed her head into the floor. Worms began to burrow their way into her body, but all she did was laugh. Even as I began tearing the flesh from her bones, she just laughed. She told me that I was doing exactly as she expected, and that only made me hungrier, angrier. I grabbed her face, tightening my grip around it, all the while her piercing laughter tearing at my soul the same way I was tearing into her body. I crushed her head, and still, the laughter came. But it didn't come from her. I began to laugh. My mother's laugh. Something in me broke, and I began to laugh so loud it hurt my throat. The girl is still outside the tiny building, but far enough into the darkness to not see her, echoed my laughter. When I looked down to see the remains of my mother, there was nothing there. Blood filled the room. Gore littered the walls, but there was nobody. Blood covered my face, and the taste of iron was on my breath. I screamed, and the girl echoed that too. I cried, and she echoed that as well.
Come outside. Play with me. We can be the best of friends, Jeremy. We can play forever, and share everything together.
She spoke to me, calmly, in a voice that was a mixture of my mother's, the guard's, and my own. I listened. Blood dripped from my hands. I unlocked the door, opened it, and stepped outside. The girl was waiting for me this time, but she didn't seem menacing at all. She looked welcoming. She looked nice, and I wanted nothing more than to hug her and kiss her and tell her I wanted to be her best friend and we could spend every waking moment together. I started to run to her, and that's when the first rays of dawn peeked over the gray buildings. As I reached her and the sunlight touched our skin, my vision went dark. I woke up in my bed. My head was pounding, my throat was raw, and my stomach was hurting. But other than that, nothing was amiss. My ankle was not hurting. My clothes were clean, and I heard no noises. Sunlight glared through my window, bathing me in a sweet bliss. A dream? I wondered to myself. The night had seemed so real, so vivid. It couldn't have been a dream, could it? I looked at my phone. 4:30 p.m. The date was November 1st. Everything seemed normal. No sobs, no screaming, no broken door. I began to feel safe and comfortable, realizing that I must have had needed this sleep because I slept for so long. That was until I looked out my window. It being daylight out now, I could see the security shack from my second-story window. Police were parked all around it, caution tape creating a barrier that no one without a badge could get through. People in hazmat suits entered and exited the small building. I strained to get a better look, but I could not see what was going on. I almost left my apartment to ask, but something caught my eye. On my nightstand, stained in small freckles of red, was a name tag. I picked it up, turned it over to read who it belonged to, and my heart sprang to my throat. The name read Jacob. I began to freak out. What had actually happened last night? Why the fuck was the guard's name tag in my room, speckled in red? And why the fuck did my breath taste like metal? I didn't know what was going on, but I knew I needed to get rid of that name tag. Whatever happened to the guy, I don't know. And I didn't want to be connected. I grabbed the lighter I kept for the occasional bowls I would light up in my free time and took the name tag to my bathroom and melted it over the toilet and flushed. It was gone. Nothing to worry about. I decided not to ask the officers what was going on so as not to come off as suspicious at all. My poker face and lying skills weren't great, so I didn't want to be put into that situation at all. I resigned to letting the news catch me up with the events whenever it aired. I went on about my evening, falling asleep at 9 p.m. that night. There were no noises that night, only sleep. I awoke at about 8 a.m., turning on my TV, tuned into the news, and listened. The news described the scene, grisly, bloody and gory, but they stated no body was found. They said that DNA tests will determine the identity of the man, but also that the security guard, Jacob Housley, was working that night and has been missing since then. They don't expect to find him alive, and I don't either. But I convinced myself that it had nothing to do with me, and that I had no idea what happened. It was farther strengthened when, a few weeks later, the police department released the results of the DNA tests. It was inconclusive. They found 3 different people that the DNA could belong to, 2 males and 1 female. I chose to hang on to the inconclusive part and ignore the 2 males and 1 female part. I did this for my own sanity, because in order to remain sane, or at least convince myself that I wasn't insane, was to ignore all the bad and everything pointing to me. I actually almost forgot about the situation. That was, until now. It is now exactly 1 year later. I woke up again at the same time, to the same noises. Only this time, the noises were welcoming. I felt no aggression or fear. If we're being completely honest, I felt eager, and hunger is beginning to overtake my thoughts. The voice is pleading with me to join her again. And I think I will. But I wrote all of this to warn you. I am a 22-year-old man now. 5 feet, 10 inches. Blonde hair, blue eyes, somewhat pale skin, and I have a long, distinct scar running down my cheek due to an accident when I was younger. I'm telling you this because I have some humanity left. But I don't think it will be around much longer. So if you wake on November 1st at 4 in the morning and you hear odd noises, do not look outside until dawn. If you do look outside and see a man matching that description, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. Now I know the thing has always been there. It fed off of my family for years. It had a cozy home inside our big house. There was the murky shadow in the corner of the dining room where we sat while it feasted. The thing became material when I was 4. At night, I would stand next to my bed, a towering darkness splashing onto the ceiling. The mattress would groan and the air would reek of its breath, and my cheeks would itch until they were numb from the spikes on its maw. I would hear my heart in my ears beating very, very fast. And then I would blink, and it would be morning, and Mother would be putting fresh flowers on my bedside table. I would rush to the bathroom, hoping that double toothpaste could wash away the nasty taste in my mouth. Nana must have known about it. She always knew what was going on in the house, and so every now and then she invited a priest to visit. The adults would pray together, and the priest would leave with a large donation, and the thing would be quiet for a couple of nights. But then it always returned, more hungry than before. It made my body ache for weeks. I had trouble remembering whole days on end because of its greed. It took too many of my memories. Nana would notice and let me stay at home and get well. She would bring me cookies and milk in bed and tell the most beautiful stories about the stars hanging low in the dark sky. Half asleep with her by my side, I could sometimes see the shadow forming behind her shoulder in the dimly lit doorway. But I never thought to warn her. Mother knew about it, too. That much I deduced from her reaction the only time I ever asked. She, who always was so achingly distant, grabbed my shoulder and hissed violently. There was a curse that ran in the family, and it killed those who couldn't keep their mouth shut. The metal in her voice hurt more than her fingernails digging into my skin. I cried, and we didn't speak about it again. I never tried telling my grandfather. He was a tall and strong man, strong enough to scare the thing away. But he had no time for a little girl's fantasies. It was the worst in the years from my 5th to 10th birthday. Then, as I grew older, I started having fewer encounters with the thing, until they were so rare that my young mind convinced itself it was but a series of bad dreams. And so, years passed. I finished school, went to university to study English, and met my husband in the final year. At first, he helped me with the homework, and later he helped me fall asleep. For years that we were together, I never had so much as a bad dream. Our beautiful daughter was born 10 months after we were married. I didn't visit my grandparents' house in years. That is, until when, well into the 5th year of parenthood, Mother called to let me know that Nana had passed on. I was expected at the funeral, she said. My little daughter was, too. My husband couldn't come because of a business trip, so I packed for the 2 of us, and we left to say our final farewells to my old Nana. Despite barely being on speaking terms all those years, the reception at my grandparents' house was quite warm. After the funeral, the 4 of us gathered in the dining room. My girl was the center of everyone's attention. Mother showered her with affection, and Grandfather seemed genuinely interested in her collection of Barbie dolls. For the night, Mother put my girl in my old room. I wish I remembered what terrors lived there in the past and prevented what happens next. If only I did, I could have protected her. I slept in the room next to her. In the early hours, I woke up to use the bathroom. It was on the way back in the dark corridor that I thought I heard a stifled cry. Immediately, and against my will, my body froze, a paralyzing chill running down my spine and my legs, and I had to force myself to listen very, very intently. I almost didn't hear it because of my own heartbeat thundering in my ears. But the cry was repeated. That's when the memories rushed back, like an icy tidal wave, and I remembered the ordeal of my young age. After all, it all happened in the same room where my girl was now alone, left to be devoured by the thing that was so hungry after all those years. Willing myself not to collapse, I moved silently and opened the door to my old room as quietly as I could. Right away, despite wishing it wasn't there, I saw the thing hunched over the tiny bed, dark and menacing and taking the whole room in the faint moonlight. It was as fearsome and ugly as I had remembered it, yet its shape and its movements were strangely familiar, invoking an odd feeling inside of me. My girl was sitting up in her bed, clutching the pillow and watching the thing as if transfixed, her pale face smeared with tears. Then, suddenly, I couldn't see her face anymore, because the thing encroached on top of her in its insatiable desire to consume. It was then that I pounced forward, grabbing the heavy crystal vase that was still standing on the bedside table. It came down hard, crushing the bones and sending splinters into the soft brain tissue. A shrill cry rang in my ears as I hit again and again on what must have been its head. I smacked it with the vase until there was nothing but the soft mush and fragments of bone left on the floor. I pounded, bashed, and slammed until my arms spasmed in an onslaught of searing pain. In my distress, I didn't notice that the darkness disappeared from the room, which was now brightly lit. Panting, I turned around to look. Mother stood in the doorway, her hand on the light switch. Her pale face was twisted in a grimace of terror. I looked at the sticky, blooded vase in my hands and saw my grandfather's hair stuck to the bottom.